Untangle Your Story with Sherry Doyen. Go beyond survival and discover the magic of thriving from childhood abuse. Join us every week as our stories and wisdom helps you create strategies to move you beyond surviving to thriving. You were meant to live a life worth living. And now, your host, Sherry Doyen.
Thanks for tuning in to Untangle Your Story. I am your host, Sherry Doyen. In sharing our stories, little by little, we chip away at the taboo that has surrounded our experiences. 35 million children are experiencing today the horrors that we ourselves have known all too well. Our mission here is to share our stories of pain and our triumphs to give you a roadmap to freedom. There is more. Surviving's not a state to be striving for. We join minds with fellow survivors and experts to give you the tools to create strategies to uncover that strand of the story that's uniquely you. That's the prize in the end, isn't it? Becoming visible. Today I'm excited to have with us Lois Hollis, the founder of Soul Speaks. After running the gamut of physical diagnosis and the empty promises of her magic pills, Lois came crashing into herself, her shame and guilt. And then one day the running stopped and her research began. Through the process of understanding and fully seeing the pain of her inner child, she began to turn her energies outward with the intention of shining a flashlight for others. She has developed DVDs, books, and workshops to teach you how to identify shame and guilt with real-time ways to diffuse its power over your daily lives. Lois, hello. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, well, you know, I think it's so powerful for us to gather and share our journeys because, you know, we're giving the next people a little bit of a roadmap to avoid the potholes that maybe we got stuck in for a while, right?
That's very true. But also people have to compassionately understand that everybody has like an alarm clock within them. And it is then that it sounds the alarm. So for me, it wasn't until my late 40s that I became aware of, the abuse that I sustained in my childhood.
Can I ask you, did that kind of come with like empty nest and menopause?
No. It just happened.
What was happening in your life during this? That time.
Well, at that time, I developed, I became more severely reactive to the scoliosis I had, the mitral valve deficiency that I had with my heart, the increasing migraines that I had every day, and also then my child developed scoliosis, and I did not want her to have the traditional medical surgery, a rod implantation. So I searched and searched and finally found, I didn't know about chiropractic at that time because I was medically trained. So the chiropractor had helped her back amazingly, and then she said that she could help my headaches. Well, she gave me one adjustment, and I saw within my mind eye myself as a child with bleeding legs, and was when my father beat me.
Now, how old were your children at that time?
Probably around 10 and 12, that age group. But it wasn't empty nest. It was just the time.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, that yes, you can trace it to one event, but somehow you're walking down the street and go, oh, wow, that happened to me. Everybody has a different awakening, and it can either be prodded or, time-wise by itself. And I'm always about the organic function of our own system. To prod too early isn't helpful, and to prod late is not good either. So I believe in the soul telling us when that time happens.
And I think often in a woman's life, we kind of have some set points that God put in place to begin with. And I know for myself, like my first pregnancy, you know, I kind of started getting, you know, flashbacks started crashing in because it was necessary. I didn't want to repeat, you know, what was happening. And I got just enough to, like, you know, keep me on a track. And then mine again hit me really hard at the empty nest time when it was kind of like, what now? I've stopped running. Like, you know, now I don't have, you know, stuff to keep me busy. Every second.
Exactly. Yeah. So that went, okay, that really makes sense because, you know, I have fear of this, I fear of this, and I'm miserable, and hello, I have migraines every day. And so I went to therapy, and I said, oh, I'm stupid. I don't remember any of my childhood. And the lady looked at me like, I don't think you're stupid. You graduated from an Ivy League school called the University of Pennsylvania. So I don't think that's going to work here. I said, well, I was always told I was stupid. I was dyslexic at a time when dyslexia was not, you know, considered a handicap. And also I stuttered. So my school told my parents that I was too stupid to teach to read. Also, I just found out that I had a learning disability where all the words that I would read as a child would move. And I always ask the teachers, how do you make the words stop moving? I can't read. And they laughed at me like, what is wrong with this kid? Mm. So talk about shame and guilt and stuttering. I was put at the back of the class because I was considered a reject. And so I just carried that forward like,
I think I spent my entire young adult or young childhood in the hall because I was always asking questions that they weren't wanting to answer at that moment.
So I consider myself lucky because a lot of things that you're taught you don't use anyway. And I always wanted to tap dance. So I just begged and begged my mother and father to please let me tap dance. So about 7 or 8 years old, I started dancing. So when they were teaching, I was tap dancing with my feet under the desk. And I really do believe, Sherry, that that saved my life.
Oh, I think so. You know, I was a tapper too. Isn't that funny? And I've, you know, in all my conversations with women, you know, when I take them back and say, hey, but, like, what were the things that helped you? A lot of people tapped. I think it's that internal rhythm, right?
Yeah, well, and also dyslexia. It helped dyslexia.
Oh, I'm sure,
The
creating that rhythm. Oh, I'm sure.
So
I'm sure. That's what, you know, as a kid I used to meditate like that. Like, I would rock, you know, and today they would have me labeled with some sort of autistic label or something, because I would rock and tap and count my taps.
Yes,
and, you know,
and that's
which,
what I did. That's
yeah, which did. For a yogi, what, they're always counting their breath, right? And they're always in constant movement. So I say, hey, we came in ahead of the game, right?
That's
what
right.
Other magic did you have, Lois? What other magic did that little girl have?
Well, it took me a while to find her, but there really is, what I found was that there is a whole family inside of us. We have kids and teenagers, and the teenagers are in charge of the kids. So that's what I found out later.
And you know what I like to think about that? It's like, it's almost like strands of emotion that through trauma just got severed. And it's almost like we've got
the...
Pardon me?
That's PTSD. That's PTSD.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody has PTSD.
Yeah. And, you know, some of us, like, I mean, they have the compound or complex PTSD as well, which adds another layer on there.
Yeah, but PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. And if you live here on this planet Earth, you have post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, people shoot each other and we watch television.
Right. You know.
You know.
And then if you know, your life starts out and kind of in the toilet as a young child, then that's kind of all you know is living in that space of dodging, right?
Yeah. So what other magic was, I've had a very close connection to my spirit. You can say God or soul or, you know, wherever that takes people, and that's personal. And I have had that feeling of that connection. I've had several mystical experiences in my childhood, which I did not remember until, this is very interesting. I went to traditional therapy because now I wanted to commit suicide. I remember being beat up and I had migraines. So I said, I guess I better go to therapy. So I did, and it got me to the point where I did not want to commit suicide anymore. I was like living, but I wasn't happy, but I wasn't
surviving.
Dying. Yeah,
surviving.
I was just like there. And I knew that I could do better, but, you know, anyway, so the therapist asked
did
that,
you have,
you
though,
know,
so, and, you know, as far as your magic, like, I, you know, because I find it interesting because I, you know, I came faced as an adult with it again as well. And did you kind of have a feeling of intrigue about it as an adult
about
before
what?
You found of your magic?
No.
Okay.
I took it as everyone has it. It was so close to me that I used it all the time.
Right,
and,
as a child. But I mean, as an adult.
Well, as an adult,
like,
my childhood was non-existent as far as I was concerned, as an adult. I just did what I did. I accomplished a lot. I started the first kidney hemodialysis unit in the country as a nurse. That started off, you know, many research projects and consultations and organizations, and I did a lot of stuff, and I just always performed and always was creative. I always had a new way of doing something. And I just accepted
bumping
that.
Up against your magic again.
But I didn't think of it as magic or anything
I know.
Special. I just
I know,
did
how,
it because I could.
How did you bump up against it again as an adult? You said it was an interesting story, and I interrupted you. I apologize.
Okay, the interesting story is that my therapist asked, he said, who raised you? And I said, my parents. He said, no, there's someone else that raised you because you are too well put together, so to speak, for the amount of abuse that you received. And that's only what I could remember. And I said, my parents did. Because, you know, hey, abusive family, you don't talk to anybody. All of a sudden, at that moment, I remember seeing heaven or, you know, whatever you want to call it. I remember seeing that in my childhood. And I remember going there.
You know,
and
you,
I didn't
you probably
remember
enjoy-
that. And
you
I didn't
probably enjoy
that.
My June Bug book because that's exactly like I remembered going there. I remembered seeing Jesus. I remember, you know, it was a whole world that.
So I
was more
I
real
remember,
to me than here. Yeah.
I remember the beings that came with me. So they're the ones that raised me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not have this in the book, and I have it, do not have it written because it's only for talking and sharing like we're doing. But
yeah,
I remember that after that experience with the therapist when he said, who raised you? And really, God raised me. Okay, my parents, I'm grateful for giving me food on the table and giving me a place to live, that kind of thing. But my spirit was raised by God. And they're always with me now. You
know? I
know,
right? And so, I mean, and that's the solace in knowing that we're not ever alone, you know. And I don't think that, I think that when we come to this planet and, you know, have these sorts of experiences, we're given the tools and the information and the guidance to maneuver them, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, if we remember it, I mean, if we, you know, I also had a Black Panther that taught me how to fight.
Well, then I really communicated more of, you know, I was like, wow, okay, things make sense. I understand. Excuse me. Then the next day, another experience happened to me, totally out of the blue. I guess you can call it a kundalini experience. I don't know if you're aware of that term.
I've had a couple of them, yeah. It's amazing,
so
right?
So that just changed everything.
What did yours feel like? Did you have a physical experience
worlds.
With it?
I was
no, but I mean, did you have
worlds.
A physical body experience with it as well?
Oh, most definitely. My crown
what did it feel like?
Light poured into me.
I kind of even had like a pop in my head, like before the light came. It was almost like a,
And then I separated into two aspects of myself. I was in the other dimension, and I also was a nurse. But that was very difficult on my physical body.
Really?
I was losing a pound a day, and the energy that I accepted was so great that it was hard for my physical body to retain it. So I went to a yoga institute for a while in order to harness and use that energy the right way. After that time, I automatically began to write, which I'd never wrote before because I was dyslexic. You know, you can't write, you know. So I began to write. And as the writing came, I would just close my eyes and write. And the most beautiful poetry, and some of it is in the Universe Speaks book, that it's just like, it's in English, but it's in a different language. And I just call it soul language.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, you know, because for years I've said, you know, child abuse is a soul violation, and it's like on that soul level that we have to go in and
heal. You have to go there to heal it.
You have to. Have to.
And so anyway, that started the writing. Then I was physically extremely ill, and my heart was much worse. I was short of breath a lot. I couldn't breathe. I was completely crippled with the scoliosis. And every chiropractor I went to, they said, look, when are you going to realize your bones are fused, they're grown crooked, no one, not even surgery, can help you. There's nothing anyone can do for you. And I went, okay. So my friend had, I was living in East Coast, and my friend who moved to Sedona said, come visit me. And I went, well, okay. I haven't taken many vacations. So I went to visit her, and she said, my goodness, Lois, you look quite terrible. I said, well, I feel quite terrible. So she said, there's a chiropractor here that he does very interesting things. And she said, my friend went to see him, and he couldn't see, and he adjusted his nerves and the nerve down the spine, and now he can see. I said, well, he's good for me. So I went to him, and he adjusted my heart, and I could breathe. And I went, wow, that's amazing. So after a couple years, I decided to move from the East Coast to the West Coast to be close to him, and that started my physical healing.
With my Kundalini experience, I had two within months, I felt like, and just big, like, thunderclaps in my head and this bright white light. And that point, my physicalness started to finally heal. I had, diagnosis as long as my arm, right, and, you know, umpteen pills. And with that, I was able to throw my pills in the trash and start, you know, I felt like it was just like a reconnect to what I had always known and had. You know, I think that as we're get into those middle years and we're so much trying to be normal that we stuff our magic away, I think, a lot of us, you know, because it falls into that crazy place that we're trying to run from. I don't know if you had that experience. You know,
well,
I mean, because we can't explain it. You know, there's no explanations for what we're experiencing, right? You know.
I was just on the, I didn't think in those terms. I just was so totally focused on being able to stand straight and to breathe and not die. There were the three things I wanted to do because I love life. And,
oh, I thought I was dying too. I was having like, you know, MS symptoms, a lot of neurological problems. You know, I was passing out constantly. I passed out one time when I was driving. You know, it was just like my body was in shutdown. It was like either, you know, change something or stop.
Mm-hmm. So with that physical adjustments. You know, there's the physical body, the mental, emotional, and the spiritual body. You got to do them all. And that, if I ever leave with anybody with that, is that's what you have to do. People just do one thing. They drink juice or this or that and think, well, it should be okay. You got to address each body.
You know, because that thread is woven into every piece of us. It's like we want to just pick at a scab and never get down to the thorn that's placed so
far
a lot of people down there,
can.
Right?
Yeah, but a lot of people can't or don't really understand. And
I think versus can't, it's like understanding that there is something more sometimes, you know. I'm not sure for years that I thought that there was any more than what I was living at the time.
Yeah, well, you know, so that's, you know, where, you know, I don't want to keep popping around, but that's where, you know, I'm coming in and helping people to see that there's the physical body, there's the mental body, there's the emotional body, and the spiritual body. And you need to do all of them in order to have a complete healing.
Absolutely.
And
I think it takes us, you know, I'm a coach as well. And, I think that it also takes us turning, you know, I think that we've just been running, right? I know for myself, I just felt like I'd just been running and running and running, and we don't look backwards when we're running or you fall down. So I think that we just keep dealing with what is right immediately in front of us rather than turning around and seeing where we've been. And then I think that also then puts everybody else that comes after us in danger, that we're not...
Well, it's called the genetic line, and the beauty of healing at the core of the inner self. The soul
it goes back and
part
tells
of
everyone.
Us, it's it goes each way. Now, a lot of clients come to me, their prime reason is, oh, I can't get along with my son or my daughter, and there's a lot of issues of that going around. And I said, you know, what we can do is help you become strong. And when you heal, let's say it's a woman, and I said, your son has the mom part inside of him. Everybody has a mom part and a dad part, no matter, you know, what gender or, you know, whatever who has raised them or whatever they identify with. They have two parents inside of them. When a person, like when I heal to that core, my children receive the healing of the mom part inside of them, which is the teenager part of the personality. And therefore, then that can help their child, you know, come up a way.
Or here's a thought as well, right? If, especially with moms, I think that, you know, that umbilical cord, which we see on the physical plane, you know, that can't be cut easily. And I think that whatever energy mom is possessing is running through our child.
Oh,
and,
of course,
you know,
of course.
In my practice with people, that's always my focus as well, is to let's heal mom. Because if mom is healthy, everyone else is going to be healthy. I like to have this picture of, like, you know, the matriarch, right, and all this energy flowing out of her fingers, and it's just connecting to everybody in her tree, past and future.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the
energy and the magic we have.
But the point of transformation is the present.
Well, for you, but not for everyone else. Like, you know, I mean, I think that it has the ability to run the gamut of past and future if we do pause and take care of ourselves.
Yes, but in the present. In the present.
Only take care of ourselves, like, in the present. But I mean, like,
exactly.
If we
take care
of ourselves and heal ourselves, that has the ability to run backwards and forwards. Every time I think about it, I always see the hummingbird, right? That can, you know, that energy has the ability to heal everyone when we're in our power and our integrity.
It goes back and forward, most definitely.
Yeah.
So
it's beautiful. It's so beautiful and so powerful that, you know, it's especially, you know, I mean, it's there for man and woman, but I think for woman, you know, those kids have been inside of our bodies. I mean, it's the only time on the planet that we're ever of one being with another human being is when we are inside mom. What a special, amazing gift mm-hmm. that is that we possess.
Most definitely.
Now,
so,
can you...
where you want to go.
Yeah. Well, so tell me the ability, you know, how you... You said you came up with, you know, you gained the ability to feel others' emotions. So are you are you saying that you're an empath? Because
I've never really qualified myself as those things, but that's how I could create things.
Yeah,
you know, I just have that ability to get into that dimension, that higher dimension, create creativity. And, of course, with that comes more of an intuitiveness. I'm not saying I'm a psychic. You know, these things have all these connotations. But I have the ability to, when I do session, I can literally see if the inner family of the emotional inner family of the person is ready to work or be seen, I can see them.
Mm-hmm.
I can see their little child in a little corner with a red dress on, you know, at 6 years old, and her father standing over her. I can see that. Why? I
yeah,
just
me
can.
Too. And I think that, you know, I think that's a power that often survivors don't understand they possess. And, you know, if we carry that into our adult life, what an amazing gift, right, to be able to...
But everybody can see that within their own self. Everyone can see that within their own
self.
Well,
if they stop.
I can see that in others.
Yeah, I'm saying I can too.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm saying that I think that many survivors can if they stop and understand that often those things are what kept us alive as a child. You know, being able to glimpse into the future or understand what everybody's feeling in the room, right? Like we had to do that, otherwise.
Yeah.
Who knows what would happen?
Yeah, well, that was our lookout, our defense. Yeah,
for
thank
sure.
God we had it.
And, you
yeah,
know, I mean,
definitely.
Telepathy, because, like, you know, words were not, were a very sub form of communication. I know in my house, right, the words, it was more important to know what was going on in somebody's head than what words were coming out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of kids disassociate, which it sounds like you did since you didn't remember.
Well, you had to.
Yeah, you had to, which, you know, which is a cool thing because, what, you know, what's different between that and astral travel?
Well, I asked one of the children inside of me, why did you do that? Why did you separate? And she told me... because not one part of me could handle all the pain. I had to separate into several pieces so that each piece could hold a certain amount of the pain. And I went, that's dissociation. What a great definition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And when I saw the little child inside of me, she said to me, are you the one to love me? That would bring anyone to tears. Are you the one to love me? And she was huffing and puffing like, and she said, I have one last breath. That she held on as long as she could, but unless she got love, she wasn't going to be holding on. And
you know,
that
that's
was reflected
kind of
in my physical health.
Was kind of a crux, what you know, of my teaching is that, you know, we feel chased, and I think it's us chasing ourselves. I think that child just really needs to be seen and needs to be heard and needs to be loved. And if we can't see and hear and love them, why would we expect anyone else to see or hear or love us? And I think that there is a great power in bowing to our younger selves and saying, you know, Thank you for saving me.
Well, they are the core of our being.
Yeah.
And they are more important than we are. And that's how you get, you know, everybody's going, oh, the secret of youth and get young and all this stuff. It's when the younger, like I had like a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old. When they heal, their energy becomes closer to your core.
That's
and
our
their
integration.
Energy
that's integration,
becomes
right?
into you. And then you get the 12-year-old, the 3-year-old, and the 6-year-old's energy, and yes, you do become younger.
And you know what happens to me? Like since this process, you know, I'll wake up in the middle of the night laughing.
Yeah, because
like
you're
a child,
in a child laughing.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. I love it. You know, and I'm learning to play for the first time because, you know, as a child there was no playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Surviving.
Yeah.
No
yeah,
way.
My DVD, I put it on, I gave you a picture of it, but also people can go on YouTube and look at it for free if they're interested. And I, the way that came around is that I began lectures and workshops on healing the inner family of ourselves, and I was just talking to people, and they're going, Lois, what are you talking about? I go, and I finally realized that a lot of people are not aware of these different aspects of yourself. So I said, oh, I'll just make
or
a movie.
Or we view it as a disorder, right? Because, I mean, we call that multiple personalities and it becomes a mental illness versus it being a powerful thing.
Yeah. Multi-personality is when there's the person.
Well, that's just when they start naming them, right?
Yeah,
and declaring them.
Multi-personality disorder, which really does exist, but I think it's such a complete dissociation from the self that they develop the multi-personality disorder. But the
well,
person
I think
cannot
where you
find
are
home.
Is a precursor probably to that, you know? I mean, and I think it's the more we crawl into those places and give them their own identity and separation that becomes a more solid way of life than integrating them.
Yeah,
you know, they're almost
personality person can't find home. They can't find home. That's the major. I've never.
I
dealt
couldn't
with
have found home if somebody
person.
Would have asked me to find home. I couldn't have found home. And if I would have had a psychiatrist that would have started naming all of my parts, I would have. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? That doesn't leave a lot of room for putting them back together, I don't think.
Well, once they heal, they automatically integrate. And
right.
It was interesting when I first started doing this automatically after the Kundalini experience. So instead of saying I'm anxious, I would say, hi, anxiety, how are you? Hi, anger, what do you have to tell me? And then they would just talk with me, and I'd talk with them. And
mm-hmm.
That's how it started. And then I would say, and who tells you what to do? Oh, it's the big one. Oh, who's the big one? Then I found out the big one. Anyway, so I made a film of my unconscious mind and all the family inside of it. And that's the DVD that I created about 8 years ago. So, and I went to film school to do it.
That's amazing.
Because I didn't have like $30,000 to do this video. You know, now it would not be as expensive because the technology has so advanced. But I had to get child actors to be the family and teenagers, and that was quite a thing. But I did it, and
I know that's fun, isn't it? I'm in the process of trying to get my books being adapted for the screen, and actually has been adapted. We're like in rewrites, but you know, it's kind of cool to think that those things are actually being seen and heard now. So
yes,
thank you for that.
There's a movie out called Inside Outside, which I haven't seen, but they say
mm-hmm.
it's something like the parts talking to each other. So it's
yeah.
not goofy anymore.
No, I did. I actually went and saw that. I went and saw that yesterday, actually.
How was it?
And it was amazing because, you know, and what a thing to teach our children, right? Like that,
yes.
how these emotions are and when one runs amok or, and how they get stored. And it really talks about how the brain works. It's done very well, I think. I really do. Well, Lois, we're kind of can you if you could turn back to your child or to someone who's just starting on their journey, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to talk to their emotions, not talk about them.
I love that. I love that. Can you explain that a little much? A little bit?
The more I explain, people feel like it's an exercise. Just say, hi, yep. Anger, how are you? You may not get an answer, but I would say the best thing to do is start writing. Writing is a little better than speaking, and then you can interface later. But just say, hi, anger, how are you? Like you were writing a letter to your anger part. And if they don't answer, say, I am Lois, or whatever your name is, and I would love to speak with you because I have just realized that you're a big part of me and I want to get to know you.
That's amazing. You know, and I often teach that as well, to talk to ourselves, to talk to...
To talk to the emotion.
That's a cool way to look at it. I usually, you know, I'm an Aquarius, so I'm very much about words and thought. And, you know, I'm often, like, interplaying with that part of myself that's running the dialogue.
And then I would say, put your hands over your chest and say, I love you, and I want to know you. Because you can't love yourself if you don't know yourself. And you can't know yourself until you find out who you are. So that's just really the story. So talk with your emotions as if it's a child and that you just met next door. The child may not talk for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 2 days or 1 hour, but they will talk.
They will eventually, won't they?
Well, they're testing you. You didn't think of me for 50 years. Why should I talk to you now? Why should I trust you? So you're on probation. You're on probation, lady. And so you prove that you are serious, and every day, speak with them. Okay, until the process is completed, you know, 3 or 4, 6 months or whatever, you know, then you really need to be with it every day. But once they're all integrated, then it becomes part of you, and you don't need to do that every day.
You know, I really felt also it was a diligence with our mind and the
program. How much do you want to feel good?
Yeah.
You know, do you really want to do this again the next lifetime? You know, because
get it done.
Once they're healed, they're healed, and that's their karma. You know.
Right.
You know, we got to help them. We got to help ourselves, but they can't make it, or we can't. I call myself the ambassador.
I love that.
Okay, well, I don't have a clock in front of me, but the DVD might be interesting for people to see. And again, mine is just a generic form. You do not have to have that format. But essentially, we have, you know, it is the same. We have kids and teenagers in our family, and it's more than just the inner child.
So, I totally agree with you. Like, you know, I call them severed strands of emotion, you know, that we get popped back to. And, you know, there were periods, especially the clearer I got, where I could see myself being thrown back, and I'm like, okay, I'm 5 right now, or I'm 12 right now, or I'm 13 right now. And you can see how you're reacting, you know, in that from that childhood self. And I think in that awareness of being able to see it, it starts to heal.
Yeah, you know? I would say that talk to the emotion, your emotions, and they have to have names. Like I spoke with Gladys and George and Sally and Jim, and sometimes they won't give you a name. So I say, can I call you No Name? You have to name them to make it personal.
I don't know, Lois. I think that might be okay for some people, but I think if I would have started naming mine, I don't know that I would have ever gotten them back together. I think I could have crawled inside of that and, you know.
Well,
it's an option. But, you know, it's like, you know.
Everyone's different.
Absolutely.
It's an option that people can have.
So can you tell everyone how to stay connected with you, how to find your stuff? And
well, my email is loishollis@hotmail.com, and my website is soulspeak, soulspeak.net.
And are you on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook, and the best bio for me is in LinkedIn. L-I-N-K-E-D. I think people are most aware of LinkedIn. I'm really not up on Twitter yet. My new website will be up soon, loishollis.com, and SoulSpeak will be integrated into that. But right now, there's a good interview on my front page, which I helps. But really, the best thing would do, just get the DVD, and it's called Out of Discord into Harmony, and you can find that on YouTube. And I think Sherry will put that on the page so they'll be able to see it.
Yeah,
it's
for
called
sure.
Out of Discord into Harmony.
Well, thank you, Lois. You're doing some amazing work, and I appreciate you.
Well, you are too, and I think that's wonderful what you're doing
you.
As well, because the world needs to turn around, and it needs people that can help different people, people that can see things one way and people see the other ways. One person isn't for everybody.
Absolutely.
So
you know what's cool is whatever, you know, as I sit here and I talk with more people, it's like we're all saying the same thing with just slightly different words, which is amazing, you know, because
yes,
people need to hear it the way they need to hear it. Exactly.
Because
I love it.
That's the way it got broken.
Right. So thank you so much, Lois.
Okay. Blessings to you and everyone else. Okay. Bye-bye.
You too. You too. Great. We all have the ability to begin to write a new chapter and create a life that's more than merely surviving. I believe it's not only a choice, but our responsibility collectively to heal. The world needs us awake and healthy. We're the world's quiet warriors. Please follow me on Facebook, SherryDoyen.com, or Facebook.com, Coach Sherry Doyen, Twitter.com, Sherry Doyen. And I'd be honored to walk beside you and be your guide as you begin the process of untangling your story. With daily access, you'll never be alone. For more information, SherryDoyen.com. And you can tune in each and every Thursday at 5 p.m. Central Time at blogtalkradio.com/untangle your story. Thanks for tuning in.
You have been listening to Untangle Your Story. Go beyond survival and discover the magic of thriving from childhood abuse with Sherry Doyen. All shows are archived on Blog Talk Radio and SherryDoyen.com.